Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. As I say every week, my name is Susan Piver, in case we've never met. I guess I could probably stop saying that. I'm happy to sit with you. I'm not going to stop saying that. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon, so please take your seat. Whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair or on the couch. With your feet flat on the floor, unless that's uncomfortable. But in all cases, just find a way to sit upright and comfortably. And I guess I don't need to say my name or what we're doing here, even though I have started basically every video that way, because y'all, I've been doing this for more than 10 years. I didn't think about that. But yeah, I've been making these videos for a really long time. And I love it, and I'm happy to. And they're free, as you may have recognized, and they will always be free. I love doing it. I love the Dharma. I love you, in some abstract way, or specific if we know each other. So I thought, anyway, before this short sit that we're going to do, I would tell you a little bit about myself and how I became a practitioner. And it's not a super long story, but if you're in a hurry, please skip ahead to the meditation because that's the most important part, my stories notwithstanding. So, many years ago, I was in a terrible accident and nobody thought I would live. I've written about it in my books and stuff, so maybe you're aware of this. In any case, I did live, but I was very hurt. I was in the hospital for months and I had, damage to organs that are essential. In any case, this was again a long time ago, more than 30 years ago, maybe even 37. Anyway, that is not the point. However, I didn't like, I almost died. And then when I got out of the hospital, I realized that I was perfect and, that life was beautiful. No, none of that happened. I lived, I got out of the hospital. I was grumpy. I was happy. I was confused. I was angry. I had PTSD and it gave me a weird temper. So apologies to anyone who knew me at that time because I actually don't have a bad temper in that way. In any case, it was suggested to me that yoga could become part of my healing. And back then, yoga was like kind of a strange thing to do. But I booked I guess it must have been a weekend at a yoga retreat center called Kripalu, where I now teach. So go figure, sometimes. And when I went, I took a book with me called The Heart of the Buddha by Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who I had never heard of. Didn't know there was a difference between Buddhism and Hinduism, for example. Just thought it was all, oh, comes from over there. I liked the title, The Heart of the Buddha. Not the mind of the Buddha, not the history of the Buddha, the heart. I'm interested in that. So I brought this book with me. And I read it. I remember the exact moment this happened because I was sitting in the dining hall by myself. It was in between meals. It's a huge dining hall. And I was by a window and I'm reading this book. And it says something like the only possible spiritual path is your own experience. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, that sounds right. That's actually how I've always been, examining my own experience, for better and for worse. This is something I knew, but I didn't know I knew it. That's my favorite. When you read something or hear something, you're like, oh, I knew that. I just didn't know I knew it. It's already in here. So my next thought was, I must be a Buddhist. I didn't know that's what it was called. So I finished reading the book, The Heart of the Buddha. put it back on the shelf, came back to Austin, Texas, where I lived at the time, resumed my life, and forgot all about that. And then several years later, maybe five, not one, I got a job at a record label because that's what I did. I worked in the music business in Boston, Massachusetts, and I brought lugged all my books with me, and I noticed that everything I was reading, when I opened it, this bookmark would fall out, the same bookmark. I'm like, oh, this is one company publishing all of these books. They must be somewhere exotic because this is the most profound, nuanced, and deep material I have ever read. Each of the books that I read from them, by Chogyam Trungpa or otherwise. So I look on the back of the book, oh, they're down the street. So I won't tell you how I scammed a way to meet them, but I did, and I ended up going to lunch with their head of marketing and sales. I was the vice president of sales and marketing at the record company I worked for, and we talked shop. We got to like talking shop with each other, distribution and barcodes, and I don't know what we talked about. How you get people to buy stuff that you believe in, not random stuff. And one day we're sitting at lunch. He's drinking a martini. I'm not. And out of the blue, I said to him, I think I might like to learn how to meditate. He looked at me very directly and said, what kind? And I didn't know there were different kinds. So I swear, I said Tibetan, like, that is the word that came out of my mouth. I'm sure not for mysterious reasons. I'd been reading books about Tibetan Buddhism, but that's what I said. I didn't know what I meant, but I said that. He said, okay, I know someone who might want to teach you. Oh, thank you. So sometime later, he gets in touch with me and says, well, that person doesn't have time, but we're having a party at Shambhala Publications. So come to our party, please. Okay. So I go to the party, I meet the person who said he didn't have time to teach me. He said, I hear you're interested in learning to meditate. Yes. Well, I'm going away for a month, he said. And if you're still interested when I'm back, get in touch and I will teach you. So I did. I waited 31 days or maybe 32, got in touch with him, went to his house, which I was like a little skeeved out about. This apartment, actually. He said a couple things about meditation. I don't remember. We sat down in front of his beautiful shrine and he said, I will teach you to meditate, but first we'll say this together. And it was the Heart Sutra, which I didn't understand. To this day, I certainly can claim lack of understanding. He said, just skip over the words you can't pronounce, Avalokiteshvara and Skandhas and so on. And I did, and he taught me to meditate. He's still my meditation teacher. Here are the salient points to this story. His name is Sam. He's still my meditation teacher. I just wrote a book about the Heart Sutra. It is a beloved text to me. I practiced, chanted the Heart Sutra before I even learned to meditate. I don't know, I didn't know why then, but I kind of get a little bit of idea why now. He published the book, The Heart of the Buddha. I created an online business called the Open Heart Project. What? So the point that I'm trying to make is that following the threads is interesting and important. Meaning reveals itself in retrospect. Not in pre-retrospect, whatever, not in advance. And when you look, first you have to get old. So that's part of the story here, is you see that these things that are happening now have always been happening and have always been trying to communicate something to you, your whole life. All your experience, the Dharma, whatever your dharma is always trying to communicate with you. Another word for dharma is truth. The truth is always trying to communicate with you. And at first, speaking from my personal experience, it seems personal. It's about me, little Susie Piver. Oh, I like this word heart, and I found this person to teach me, and it all came together. But it's really not about me. I mean, it is on one level, but that finding the personal meaning in the journey, only discoverable in retrospect, opens the gate, it seems, to the profound level of meaning, the absolute level, which I can't explain because I don't understand it. Also, words do not suffice. So it just keeps unfolding. And the way that we can become aware of the unfoldment, if that is a word, is by the practice of meditation, by working with our mind to constantly not all look away from our thoughts, but to understand that our thoughts are just one thing that's happening. And they're usually not that useful, although some are quite profound. There's something else going on beyond what I think about what is going on. And our practice, by encouraging us to work with our minds, see first how it works. Oh, it's so busy. It's so weird. It's so whatever it is. And then you let go. That's the key gesture. You let go. And in the case of meditation, you come back to the breath. In the case of reality, you come back to, I don't know what, the reality beyond thought, which reveals itself over time or suddenly, depending on your karma. So much more I could say about this journey, but I'll leave it at that. With encouragement to for you to look at the strands, the threads, the themes, the coincidences, not to decide what they mean, because you can't. You will know what they mean at some point, but you can't decide what they mean. And let yourself be cradled in the meaning of your own life, because it's going somewhere. Very important, especially at this crazy time. Okay, so let's practice the Dharma together. Let's meditate. Thank you for listening. So begin your practice by taking a good seat, as it is sometimes expressed, which means first you take your seat. I'm meditating. Now is the time for me to examine what is true while seemingly doing nothing. So you take your seat with a sense of firmness and intention, strong intention. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to apply the technique. I'm not going to half-ass it. I think the Buddha might have said that. Hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let the front body soften. The belly rest, the throat. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed. But not clenched. Breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique. You probably know that. The eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And among the reasons the eyes are open is because we're practicing being awake. Let your attention rest on the feeling of the body breathing, which is a little different than noticing the breath or feeling the breath. The body expands on the inhale and lets go on the exhale. So just feel that. Repeat. Repeat. Let your mind be as it is. Doesn't matter. Right now, what's going on in there? What's going on right here is your breath. And that's what we're paying attention to. And thoughts can sort of skitter around, which they do anyway, in the background. If you notice that you have become absorbed in a line of thought, not a thought, forget about a thought, a lot of thoughts to the point where you suddenly notice, oh, I spaced out. I'm thinking. Okay. Label that moment silently thinking, different than meditating, just thinking. Let go. As mentioned, the key gesture. Come back. With this breath and take a fresh start. And the amount of fresh starts that you are allowed in any given meditation session is infinite. So you can relax. Thank you so much for your practice. It's very important. Thank you for practicing with me. That's important to me. And thank you for practicing together. The Open Heart Project is an extraordinary, whatever it is. I'm very happy that we're doing this together. Till next time.